Now is the time, episode 56. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Hey friends, greetings from Odessa, Ukraine, and welcome to the Now is the Time podcast. So glad to have you listening with me. This is, I skipped last week at least, and this is only, I think, the second podcast this month. Definitely been busy with a lot of travel and a lot of ministry going on, but I wanted to make sure I didn't miss this week to get an episode out and have a topic I want to discuss with you briefly today. And also, I want to give you a bit of an update on sort of a new ministry opportunity for our church here in Odessa, Ukraine. And the topic is about missionary newsletters or prayer letters, however they call them. And one thing that you may have never thought of, but I certainly have thought of as a missionary and someone who tries to communicate and keep people updated about our ministry and everything here, is how honest are missionary newsletters? And maybe that question is just kind of even shocking to you. What do you mean, how honest? They're missionaries. Of course they're honest. Yes, they're missionaries, and I think, yes, most of the time they are trying to be honest, but there can be sometimes a bit of a, how is it best to put, sort of a breakdown in communication. And what I'm saying is this: sometimes what missionaries communicate and how they communicate it sort of gives a different light to the situation than maybe is reality. And I want to kind of break that down for you and give a couple of reasons or ways how that happens, as well as a couple of things that I think that missionaries need to be aware of when they communicate, and also those who support missions need to be aware of when they read communication from missionaries. So that's what I want to talk about. But before I get into that, I also want to share with you a ministry opportunity that has come up here recently with our church here in Odessa. And I'm going to go ahead and put a couple of photos in the show notes for this episode, which is episode 56. So if you go to succofamily.org/56, you can see the photos that I'm going to be referring to. But actually, while I was gone on this last trip, where we went to a couple of different conferences, participated in them in central and western Ukraine, Christina also had a chance to minister here in Odessa. And sometimes I don't talk about her ministry as much. She's busy with the kids, with the family. In fact, just, you know, homeschooling four kids is a huge ministry. But she also participates in other ministries in our church. And she had an opportunity to visit basically it's kind of like a refugee, I don't know if I wouldn't call it a camp, but it is a facility just a few miles from our church here. And there are about, I'm not sure how many. Hold on. Let me ask her how many refugees are in this facility. Hold on. Okay, so I talked to Christina. She said that there are about around 200 refugees that are staying in this facility. And it's a real old Soviet facility, sort of like, I wouldn't call it a resort, but some sort of like, they call it like a sanatorium is what they call it. And most of them, well, basically, they are disabled refugees. And so they were in some sort of assisted living or something like that before they came there in eastern Ukraine. And then when they were evacuated, basically, they were put into this facility and with their families. So not all the people there are disabled, because they actually live there with their families. But we had the opportunity to invite about 50 of these refugees to our Easter outreach that we did on Easter. And so they just came by bus, and we were able to minister to them there. And then this past Sunday, Christina went with a group from our church, and they invited us to come to their facility to do a little service there, preaching, and we brought some, just kind of some really basic aid things, you know, toothbrushes, soap, and things like that for these people. And it was very well received. And so Christina was with the group that did that last, this past Sunday. And I talked to the man who is, actually he's one of the members of our church, recently baptized last year. His name is Alexander, and he is the one who has contact with this group. And they are asking him to come back regularly and just at least conduct some sort of a Bible study. There's probably about 10 people that are very interested out of this group to study the Bible. And, you know, wow, what an opportunity. And so I just wanted to bring that to your attention and ask you to pray for that. Pray because basically as a church, our church leadership has decided that we're going to go ahead and pursue this opportunity. And, you know, it's kind of like almost a little church plant that could possibly be started in this sanatorium for disabled refugees. And just, I would really ask that you would pray that we would be able to have a good relationship with the staff and those who are in charge of the facility there, and that we'd be able to develop relationships and have the freedom to be able to preach and share the gospel there. So far, it looks like they've really been able, you know, they're giving us that opportunity. But of course, we also want to help them just, you know, with some of their basic needs. A lot of these people are on medications, and it's just very expensive for them to buy medications. They've asked for just basic things like toilet paper and toothpaste and, you know, things like that. And so each time we go, we try and provide, you know, some basic necessities for them too, because these are, like I said, they're, a lot of them are in wheelchairs, and they're people that otherwise can't really, you know, work at a normal job where you have to do something physical. So they do have some government support, but it's very, very minimal government support. So practically just probably not even enough to buy food, you know, for themselves. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. It's a great opportunity. Hopefully if I can get out there with our team, we're going to be sending a team out there hopefully each Sunday afternoon. And if I can get out there, maybe I can get some video and share that with you on our YouTube channel, which, by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but I have been, I did a blog of my trip to Ternopil and Belotserkov. And so if you haven't yet subscribed to the YouTube channel, suggest that you do that. I'm trying to put some videos out there a little more regularly. It's just a good way for me to communicate. And I enjoy doing that. And it's a good way for you to see some of the life here in Ukraine. And that's really kind of part of my purpose, just to be able to see what life is like in Ukraine, which brings me back to the topic I was talking about at the beginning, missionary newsletters. How honest are they? And there's a couple of factors that you have to consider here. Number one is that, especially with new missionaries, there is a certain pressure. What I mean by that is you come onto the field and there's this expectation, and maybe it's even more an expectation that only exists in the missionary's mind, but there's this expectation that, okay, I'm here, I need to do something big, and then I need to write about it, take pictures, and send it home to my supporters because they're supporting me and I am supposed to be doing some great work here, preaching the gospel. My supporters want to see a church planted. They want to see lots of people coming to know Christ and all those things. And honestly, you know, that kind of pressure, it can be difficult, especially in the first term for a missionary, because it's often in that first term that missionaries get discouraged and especially if you're in a country where you're learning a language, you're learning a culture, you're just getting your feet on the ground. In fact, I've even heard seasoned missionaries, retired missionaries say, you know what, don't even worry about your first term. Don't try to get some huge ministry project done in your first term. Let it be. Learn the language, learn the culture, develop the relationships, use it for that. And of course, I know that there are missionaries that are able to do quite effective ministry in their first term, but there is some truth to that, that first term is really a time of adjusting and learning the language and finding out about the new culture that you live in. But there is this pressure. And so sometimes that pressure can kind of lead to writing in a way to make it look like maybe you're doing a little bit more than you actually are. There's really two ways that pressure can come out in missionary newsletters. Three ways that they can come out. Let's say that. First of all, if a missionary feels like they're just not doing much, sometimes they just don't write anything, and you don't hear from them for a long time. Now, not writing doesn't mean that they're not doing anything, because maybe they're just super busy and they can't. But sometimes when missionaries get discouraged, they just don't write because they think, well, what am I going to say? And, of course, that negatively affects the missionary and his support. That negatively affects our supporters, and there's just no benefit to that at all. The second way that can come out in missionary newsletter is that you can get these letters that talk about how best to put this, terrible life is in the new country. And maybe they wouldn't say terrible, but newsletters say, oh, look at this, look how the roads are here, look how the toilets are here, look at these shacks that they built for houses, look at the poor selection in stores. And I don't know if you've ever read newsletters like that. It's kind of a pet peeve of mine. And I understand that, yes, we live in a different country. Some missionaries live in countries that are much, much poorer than the United States. But sometimes missionary letters can just downright sound complaining. And so I think that we have to be careful about how we share about some of the negative sides to where we as missionaries live, because it really turns out to be not so honest, and sometimes you can see the missionary's own discouragement or maybe his homesickness in those letters if there's continual complaining about. And again, they wouldn't maybe call it complaining, but it can come across that way, of the car broke down again and we had to do this again, and we had to go to the hospital, and everything was dirty, you wouldn't believe how the government works here. And all those things, yes, they may be true, but if you only talk about that, it can communicate something that is untrue. The third way that can come out is the missionary can start to, how can I say this again? Embellish or sort of make it look like they're doing more than they actually are. And there's a lot of subtle ways that they can do that, whether it's, talking about an event or outreach that they did and not mentioning the fact that only, 15 people showed up, but making it sound like it was bigger. Or talking about maybe a ministry of somebody else and not their own ministry. And again, I think it's valid. We can talk about those things, but we just need to be clear of what really went on in those things. So as a missionary, I do want to be careful. And I know that, I am guilty of some of these things as well. In fact, I remember once I posted this picture a number of years ago of one of the village clinics that one of our fellow missionaries does here in around Odessa area, and I put a caption on it, something like, because it was just in a very simple kind of rundown building with one light bulb in it, and I put a caption in there, "I bet you've never seen a doctor's office like this." And my meaning, you know, the reason I put that there wasn't necessarily because I thought, oh, this is just so terrible and it's so poor and all that. But the reason I put it there was I wanted the American Western audience to understand and realize the difference. And I remember that somebody wrote back to me and said, well, you know, we kind of felt like that was disrespectful to the Ukrainians that you wrote that. And so I tried to explain to them. But then I realized, too, that, you know, I probably could have communicated that differently. And so, anyway, I think that also, you know, we need to be careful in our missionary newsletters to respect the culture and the country where we are. So anyway, that was maybe a bit of a long explanation of that issue, of the pressure to write about something and show that you're doing a big ministry, you're being successful in ministry. But there's another issue. And the second issue I want to talk about is just the fact that we are selective about what we write about. And we have to be selective. But we have to be thoughtful in our selection of what we write about. Because if we're always writing about one thing and one thing only, that's all our audience, that is all our supporters are going to know of where we are and what we're doing. And so I encourage missionaries to review some of their past newsletters and see, you know, am I missing some big things here? Or am I only talking about one thing? And so for some examples, you know, some things that I've seen in missionary newsletters is, I already mentioned one. One is sometimes missionaries can just talk about the problems in their newsletters. This is hard, this is difficult, and on and on. And maybe they're not complaining, but it comes across as complaining. Another thing that I've seen before is missionaries that only talk about, or not only, but almost exclusively just talk about family. You know, kids did this, kids did that, this, and it's almost more like this is about our family rather than our ministry. And I think that there's a place for family, and I think that with any missionary family, supporters want to know about your family, but ultimately they are supporting you not to know, you know, what grades your kids got in school and stuff like that, but they're supporting you to do the work of the ministry. And so it's important that they hear about the ministry. And I, you know, my philosophy on this is this: tell them what God is doing. And if God is doing something in your family, tell them about that. If you have some sort of a problem you're trying to get through, tell them about that too. But don't just focus on one thing, but make sure that you are talking about what God is doing. So not just about what you're doing, but what God is doing. And so that might be stories from the lives of other, or the lives of people that you're working with, that might be about your church, that might be about whatever other, you know, main ministry you're involved in. But make sure that you do have a good focus there, because again, a missionary newsletter can come across or can communicate maybe not the right thing overall if those who are reading it are only hearing about your family or only hearing about your problems or the things that you have to fix in your house or the roads or, you know, things like that. So we need to be careful about the content of what we choose to communicate. Focus on what God is doing, but let them also see a bit of your family and just a bit of your life as well. I think that's important. And one of the reasons I think it's important is because oftentimes people have misunderstanding about really what you do as a missionary. And you know, if they think that you're every day, you know, out doing open air evangelism or something like that, and you're not, well, then that's a problem. And here's the thing. Honestly, lots of times missionary life is just kind of boring. And I'm not saying that in general, but there's just a lot of boring aspects to it. And of course, we don't share those boring aspects. We tend to share the more exciting things. But we need to be honest in our communication of those truths. Okay, the third issue with missionary newsletters and their truthfulness, their honesty, is that sometimes missionaries avoid, or let's say they never talk about things that they have failed at. And that can give, or let's say miscommunicate to those who read that newsletter, that this missionary never makes mistakes, that they are, you know, every event they do, every church they plant, every person they share the gospel with is a success. Every sermon they preach is a success. And again, I know that it's not the missionary's intent to necessarily communicate that they are perfect. I think maybe this comes back a little bit to the pressure of trying to show that you are doing some what you've been sent there to do. But I do think that it's important that my readers know that I'm not perfect. And an example of that, actually, I guess I have quite a few examples, but I just wrote a post this week called Nine. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But anyway, it's basically nine ways that I struggle with preaching, or nine struggle. I can't remember what I called it. Anyway, it is nine different ways that I struggle with preaching. And so I shared some of my problems, some of the things that are difficult for me, some of the ways that I do not meet up, because I don't want people to think that I'm out here and I'm this slick preacher that never gets nervous, never makes a mistake. No. That is not the case at all. And if you think that way, the problem is you miss the fact that it is God working despite my problems and my failures. It is God working. And I also think that it is an encouragement to communicate that kind of truth about how I did not do a good job, how I failed, because people understand that. They connect with it because they know that they also don't. And it is encouraging. I mean, for me, it's encouraging sometimes when I read, you know, say one of my great examples of a pastor, a preacher, a missionary. And I read about how they tried something and they failed miserably at it. And in a way, it encourages me because I think, well, you know, I guess they're human too. And I guess they need my prayer. And so if you want people to pray for you, you know, don't pretend like you're perfect. Let them know that, you know, this was really difficult for us to do. I tried to do this outreach in this village, and we just got shut down. I was supposed to preach this message in Russian, and I just fumbled around, could not find the words. I really need to work on my language skills. And share with them those kinds of things. Be honest. Because that honesty is really going to connect with them better, I think. So those are my three issues. Number one, it's the pressure to show that you have a successful ministry. Number two is the selection of what we are actually going to communicate. And number three is not letting people know about your mistakes and your failures. So I hope that some of those suggestions are good for you, are helpful for you, and especially if you're a missionary and you communicate. I encourage missionaries to communicate more often. And in various ways, but you know, we can all write, but there are other means of communication, like this podcast. And that's why one of the reasons I do it, because honestly, sometimes I just like to talk more than I like to write. And I really appreciate the fact that you are listening. And listen, I would really, really appreciate it if you could go onto iTunes and rate this podcast, because that helps it. The higher the rating is, the more visibility it gets for other people. And we appreciate that because we are supported. 100% of our income and ministry funds come from just the sacrificial support of God's people, and that humbles us tremendously, because we know that it's just only by faith that we are able to stay here in Ukraine and continue to serve, and it is through your sacrificial giving. So if you'd like to give, dear friend, I want to give you that opportunity. Go to sukafamily.org. And click on the upper right. There's a button there to learn how to give. And we appreciate it. Christy and I really, really do appreciate it. And we want you to know that, because it enables us to minister and to give our lives to serving the people of Ukraine. And I will keep you updated about ministry and about the ministry that we're planning in with these refugees, these disabled refugees that are just a couple miles here from our church. So keep watching us on YouTube or on Facebook, and definitely be keeping those things updated. All right, friends, until next time, please be blessed, communicate with honesty, and may God have all the glory for that. Blessings.